The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Okay, Dee Reddy and John Cadell are with us for our weekly music spot. And the first thing they've put in front of me to do is to discuss the list of the best 20 selling albums in the UK of the last 20 years or the 21st century. And I'm actually really interested in not just the choices, but the fact I don't think there's any album in the list of the top 20 from this decade. Or maybe there's one or two. But
there is one there that's jumping out at me. It's Michael Bublé, Christmas. So
2011.
Yeah. And that's it.
Ed Sheeran, Divide.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, missed those
Ed
ones.
Sheeran, Multiply, or X, whatever it's called.
And there's Adele albums, which will tell you where they come, which are obviously from this decade. But I think the point really is, isn't it? I mean, do people actually buy albums anymore? Or do they just stream an album or stream particular tracks?
Well, yeah, because this is based on album sales as opposed to people actually streaming. And I think it is probably a sign that it sort of peaked in the last decade.
Well, I don't know. A lot of the albums are the sort of albums that people who buy one album a year would buy.
So, that's like,
they put it on the coffee table as a conversation piece. You know, they'd probably listen to it. They put it in the car. It's their album for the car.
And they've five
and
albums.
And there are a lot
the
of those people, which is why the X Factor winner songs still come out on CD single. Because those, those are sort of people who buy one CD or vinyl a year.
Okay, you're not going to do it. I'm going to quickly go through the top 20 and get your yay or nays to the choices of the British buying public. Anyway, number 20, Parachutes by Coldplay.
Yeah, like it.
Probably one of their better albums, isn't it?
They haven't done a bad album.
Oh well, we could argue about that another time. But
he's a dose, but no, not a bad band.
Number 19, Scissor Sisters.
Yeah.
That's a good album.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
That's great fun. Great. Okay. 18, X and Y by Coldplay.
Yeah, I'm having that.
I could take it or leave it.
Okay.
There we go.
17, Hopes and Fears by Keane.
Great album.
I agree.
Absolutely
I love that album.
Great album.
No, sorry.
No,
why not? The Coldplay.
Just didn't really land with me.
No, okay. No. All right. You're not keen.
I'm not keen.
16, Beautiful World by Take That.
I'll have that. Yeah. Beautiful.
I'm in.
You have to say something instead of nodding at me.
Sorry, I'm in.
And number 15, Life for Rent by Dido.
Yes.
I don't like that album for what it spawned more than for what it is.
What do you mean?
Because of Eminem.
No. It's
a lot of Me Too type.
Just a lot of.
Well, not Me Too is the wrong expression, but sort of imitators.
That and White on Blonde by Texas and Play by Moby are the definitive I buy one album a year merchants albums. So, yeah.
It's a bit harsh.
It's a bit true. Next.
Number 14 is Christmas by Michael Bublé.
Absolutely not.
Lovely chap, but crap.
13 is Coldplay again, A Rush of Blood to the Head.
Their best album. It's an incredible album. Opens with Politic. Listen to it right after this show, if your radio's broken, of course. Not under any other circumstance.
I'd get in the car if that was the only album in it.
Yeah,
would you?
Yeah.
Okay. Number 12, Only by the Night, Kings of Leon.
Oh, this is where all the people text in and go, they used to be great up until and including their third album. Then they automatically went crap when they got popular. Not a bad album.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Number 11, The Fame, Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Absolute bangers on that one.
Yeah. Absolutely. And game changing. Not in a world sense, but you know, it certainly was really
full
interesting.
Of floor
selling album.
It's a great album. Yeah.
Okay, as we go into the top 10, John, will you let Dee answer maybe
Sorry, apologies. Well, keep stum.
No. You can answer.
That's fine. No. See ya.
Number 10, White Ladder by David Gray.
I will take this one. Absolutely love it. But I will also say that I would be afraid in front of the Irish public to say that it was a no from me anyway.
Yeah, and of course,
because
he's going to have his third night in the Three Arena in March. John?
What?
What's your opinion of this
album?
Oh,
you want my opinion?
I do, just not if you've heard
it. It is a classic. Worth the price alone for this year's love. Absolutely.
Okay. Number 9, D is No Angel by Dido again.
Yes, well, I will take Dido because John's going to leave her out in the cold.
I won't. I don't like her.
Okay, and we have another Michael Bublé at number 8, Crazy Love.
Wouldn't be for me now.
Rap.
Fair.
He chirps it almost there at that stage. It was a chirpy sound. Okay. Number 7, Spirit by Leonie Lewis.
I can't say I've listened to the album in full, but it wouldn't be for me.
That is one of those albums that everybody bought when she won the X Factor, and now nobody can name more than one song on it.
Well, I didn't buy it. Mm. Number six, Back to Bedlam from James Blunt.
Love him personally. Don't like his music. It's not beautiful.
Oh, how witty that
nice.
Was.
No, I'm not going to. I can't stand behind that.
Okay, number five, Ed Sheeran, Divide.
Next.
We're not divided on this one. I will agree with you there.
Number four, Ed Sheeran, Multiply.
Next.
No, not going to multiply.
When's Ed Sheeran going to come out with Minus? Because I want less of him.
Number three, Adele, 25.
Every day of the week. Absolutely.
A belter.
Absolute belter.
I'm in that car and I'm now singing along.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, Amy Winehouse, Back to Black.
100%. That could even be the only CD in my car and I'd be happy.
Yeah, if you have ears, you like that album.
Okay. And number one, Adele again, 21.
Yeah.
Also, yes.
Every day of the week. Absolutely. That's a really, really good top three. Really, really crap top five.
Or
okay.
Ed.
Listeners say, oh, jeez, the thumbs up for Keane. Are yeah. you having a laugh?
No, everybody's changing and bed-shaped, I put forth to the jury.
Two songs don't make an album, John.
Listener wants to know, where's Florence and the Machine? Well, it's the best-selling. We're not saying it's the best.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
The best would be a very, very different list,
oh,
I'd
God,
wager.
Couldn't even start. Yeah.
We might have to.
Okay.
We should put together this list for
Denmark,
the
John
Irish
Grant.
Listening public next week.
We should try and find out what the yeah. situation is with the Irish listening public.
I'd be curious to see.
I suspect David Gray would be much higher, wouldn't he?
Well, yeah. He's still the top-selling album of all time in Ireland, I think.
I believe he is, yeah.
But I'd say ours would be quite different to this.
Yeah.
I'd hope.
Listener says, Coldplay, the ultimate I buy one album a year band, just like Shawshank is the best ever movie brigade.
Yeah, there is a grain of truth in that, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Right, well, let's move on to other things now. So, let's see, the Cranberries have become the first Irish band to reach a billion views on YouTube.
Yes, this is Zombie. The video for Zombie is at 960 million video views.
Huge, so, past yeah. the 1 billion mark before Christmas. Oh, and yeah. There's only three other songs from the 20th century. Sorry, two other songs from the 20th century that have reached that landmark. So you've got Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's from 1975.
Yeah, hold on a second. That's according to YouTube data. So they've got that wrong. And they've got, no, 20th century is right.
Bohemian Rhapsody was from the 19th, from
yeah,
the 20th,
we were in the 20th century. Century.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you just try and save us from the 19th century, John?
Wait. Well, there were flourishes of 19th century in it, to be fair to him.
Sorry.
It's our excuse to play a little bit of Zombie.
Oh, I'll get me a...
Yeah, Mary Kingston, actually, who people of my ilk will remember fondly from children's television back in the day, she had a gas tweet during the week. She had recorded This Way Up, that Aisling Bea and Sharon Horgan TV show, and she'd been getting quite annoyed because she'd actually accidentally recorded the sign language one. But it got to the scene where Sharon Horgan and Aisling Bea are doing their dance to and performance of Zombie, but they were joined on screen in the bottom right hand corner by the lady who was signing Zombie, and it's actually a gorgeous thing. So you've the beauty of Aisling Bea, Sharon Horgan, Mary Kingston and the lovely sign language lady and Dolores O'Riordan all dancing to that one for you.
Okay, excellent. Right, okay. What else do we have? We have Diana Ross playing the Glasgow Legends stage next year.
I'm sickened by this because I don't have a ticket.
Would you like to see her?
Oh man, that will be unbelievable. So she's doing the Legend stage, the Legend slot on the Pyramid stage, which is always on the Sunday. Like, this is something which, going back to, I think, 1998 when Tony Bennett did it, he really set the scene for that particular slot, where it's someone who's had a phenomenal career and they come on and they just absolutely rock the crowd no matter what the weather has been like of a Sunday afternoon. So Kylie Minogue did it last year. I know we spoke about that during the summer. Neil Diamond's done it. Shirley Bassey's done it. Dolly Parton did it. Lionel Richie did it. Like, it's an amazing
slot. It's almost as important as the headliners.
I think it absolutely is nowadays.
Yeah, this is what people want to know. Who's headlining Glastonbury and who's doing the Legend slot?
I saw her once at the World Cup opening game in Chicago in 1994. Oh, wow. I was there for it when she also kicked off the tournament by missing an open goal. Let's hear a little bit of Diana Ross's music from the Supremes to her solo career. Upside Down would be my favourite out of that.
It just comes with the headphones here. It just sounded incredible.
Well, that's the thing. You could have another minute on that reel of absolute bangers from her. She's unbelievable.
And I was just saying to Dee before the mics came back on, that's the Bee Gees on backing vocals on Chain Reaction, and they wrote it.
And Barry Gibb also has played the Legend slot
a couple of years back, yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's all coming together.
You know, you could have, like you say, you could have had an extra 3-4 minutes of clips from her hits and you still wouldn't have been fulfilled. That's brilliant stuff.
Well, I mean, I suppose it is their 50th year next year, so they are pulling out all stops. I think Paul McCartney is rumoured.
That's the rumour. He's played it before.
Be headlining.
He played in 2004, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, Macca's voice is a bit croaky now live. But
which brings us nicely to the late John Lennon's least favourite Beatles song has been revealed.
Well,
how do we know this? The man's dead since 1979.
Well, I would take issue with this being his least favourite Beatles song, but if it came from the horse's mouth, I can't really take issue, can I? Apparently he told a journalist in 1970 that Run For Your Life from Rubber Soul is his least favourite Beatles song. He said he's probably ashamed of the line that he stole from an Elvis track, Baby Let's Play House. The line being, "I'd rather see you dead, little girl, than to be with another man." So I think back in 1970 when John was going through his whole primal scream therapy and he was ashamed of his treatment of women in the past. So he was probably feeling regretful about that lyric in particular.
Well, I mean, not hard to feel. It's not a great thing to say.
No, it's not at all. But I had long understood that his least favourite song was on Abbey Road, because when he was asked what broke up the Beatles, he answered Maxwell's Silver Hammer. He hated the song so much. Now, he said it with tongue in cheek, but he hated that song so much. He didn't want it on Abbey Road. He said it's Paul in his most, in his worst sort of music hall era. He said it's just horrible.
Let's hear a little bit of Run For Your Life.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah.
It's very creepy.
And at least it's him choosing one of his own tracks as opposed to somebody else's.
Yeah, yeah.
I read somewhere once that apparently one of George Harrison's favourite Beatles songs was actually a James Brown cover of something. It's like I've heard the cover. I actually play it at home quite a lot. It is really, really good. But he liked it so much as a cover that he used to have it on the jukebox in his house.
Cool.
There you go.
I knew as I said it I'd made a mistake, but thank you to the listener who's corrected me. John Lennon died in 1980, not 1979.
Yes.
I was a year out. As I said it, I was thinking to myself, am I right? Am I right? There's lots of people getting in touch saying Diana Ross is going to be a disaster at Glastonbury. You talked about Paul McCartney. Mm. Voice been gone. Her voice is shot as well, apparently, according to lots of listeners.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay, but I suppose it will be auto-tuned and dubbed.
Yeah, and she'll probably have a fairly robust backup line, shall we say.
Yeah.
Niall in Cork says he saw Diana Ross play the Mill Street Arena in Cork years ago. She was amazing. I don't know how many years ago that was. You have a little Diana Ross anecdote as well that you just come back to your mind.
Yeah, I remember in 1989 she played the Point Depot. And it was £24 to see her. And it was...
That was an enormous amount of money then.
A huge amount of money in 1989. That's when I'd like to have seen her, though, I think. I'd like to have seen her in 1989. And I don't know what the album was, but it was like less than a decade away from the Diana album and the Chain Reaction and all that stuff. So I think she'd have been great, but I wouldn't have paid that back then to see her.
Okay. That was across the era when a lot of us were getting all our music on cassettes, which apparently are making something of a comeback.
Yeah, apparently 35,000 cassette tapes were sold in the UK for the first half of 2019.
It's not an enormous number, is
it? No, but based on previous years where that they'd completely dropped off a cliff.
That's because people weren't releasing stuff on cassette.
No, and sure, why would you?
Yeah.
When the cassette player was removed from new cars, that was one of the major reasons why people stopped.
And also because they sounded like muck. Cassettes always were the...
And they broke.
And they degrade really quickly.
Yeah.
You know, when you play
even
them.
The chrome ones.
But what's strange about this is...
But they were great. Cassettes were great for taping music. I know you weren't supposed to
do that.
They
were, yeah. That's what everybody did. Tape
everybody
off the radio.
When you used to stick bits of tissue in a cassette that you didn't like anymore and you'd record
over it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
To this day...
I had one of those Fisher-Price ones with a little microphone.
I can't hear I Want It All by Queen to this day without expecting Tony Fenton's voice to come in in the fade-out. I swear,
that's
got all the hallmarks of another great Queen track. And that's what I hear whenever I hear the song. I hear Tony's voice.
That is something you'd miss.
Yeah.
But that
apparently
being said,
they're environmentally friendly.
Well, I mean, what's happening at the moment is a letter to customers from the National Audio Company has said that there's a worldwide shortage of high-grade gamma ferric oxide, which is the magnetic material that is used in making audio recording tape. So they are expecting a haul of 11 tons of oxide later in the month. So that'll mean they can go back into production. But I just don't understand. It's not as good quality as vinyl is or that a digital recording would be. It's not as easy to recycle. And you have to have a whole other... You know, you have to have a cassette player to play
when the Walkman, when the iPod came in, that's what killed cassettes. Because it was in order for a format to reach mass appeal, it has to be a vast improvement to what came before. Okay, or has to have benefits like vinyl you couldn't put in your car, okay? Cassettes you could.
Mm-hmm.
Then when cars started getting CD players, obviously the sound was better than the muffly cassette, so they went. And then the only reason that you would have cassettes was to carry them around in your Walkman. But then when the iPod came along, that sent that to
I'd say even
graveyard.
Before that, the death knell was probably when people started being able to burn CDs. Because you remember for a good long while, a CD was just a CD and it was as you got it, unless you had a super fancy computer.
But the Discman never had the take-up that the Walkman had, because the Discman would skip in your pocket. So the Walkman held its own, literally, I would say, until the iPod came out. I was certainly making mix cassettes up to and including 2001 anyway.
I did love an Elmis mix cassette. And
ahead of making mix CDs, because even if you could burn a CD back then, the hardware was so expensive.
And you'd get to the end of it and it'd tell you that it failed, but the CD would be banjaxed anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And I was looking into it actually. Apparently though, it is more, like if you're going to actually, say if you want to buy something on vinyl or CD or cassette, if you must, if you're actually going to listen to that more than 27 times and cherish it, then actually between the carbon footprint of streaming something, after you go past 27 streams, you might as well buy a physical copy. It's the same output. So something to, and for record collectors like yourself, John, that's good to know.
Okay, I just want to take a brief break to let people know the Irish team to play against Switzerland coming up. And there's three changes from the team against Georgia. Out of the team go Matt Doherty, Conor Horahan, and I'm trying to work out who else has gone. But anyway, it's Duffy, Egan and Stevens in a back three. It's James McLean wide on the left and Seamus Coleman wide on the right. And then there's Glenn Whelan holding behind Jeff Hendrick and Brown, the Preston player. And then up front it's Collins and Connolly. Aaron Connolly is actually starting in the game.
Good.
Oh, you're an expert in this as well? No,
I'm
John,
not an expert at all, but I watched. Do you have to be an expert to make a comment? Do you, like on this show? Do you have
We actually do try. And that's a backhanded compliment to you, John, in that we bring on people who know what they're talking about, which is why you're on the music spot.
Well, I watched the match on Saturday, Matt.
No, let's go back to the music,
John.
Let's go back to the
and
music.
And he made an impact in his 11 minutes. He was on the pitch. We got two shots and goal and he was unlucky not to score the second one. So screw you.
I had to look at your screen to see what sport we were talking about, so I won't comment.
Okay, the idea of Coldplay doing an experimental album to be released next month.
Well, John's probably into it.
Well, yeah, I am into it. But the funny thing is they're saying, oh, yeah, Coldplay haven't yet made a Kid A, as if they'd be capable. Now, I did stick up for Coldplay earlier on because I think they're a great pop band. But Coldplay, unlike Radiohead, Coldplay were built to be a crowd-pleasing, stadium-filling band. Radiohead sort of made their way into becoming Radiohead by being a bit obvious with the rock. But they were always a more interesting and esoteric band, right? Coldplay were built for stadiums. Coldplay are not able to make a Kid A. They're not wired that way. They'll probably make a more experimental album, which usually means talking to Brian Eno. But they'll do that and it'll be a bit like watery and wispy, and then they'll come out with the stadium bangers. One thing about Coldplay, though, is they have always sounded fresh. They have always used the technology of the times to sound fresh.
I don't know if using the technology of the times necessarily means that you sound fresh. They haven't sounded fresh in a very long time to me, I will say.
Okay. Do you have picks of the week this week?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are they?
Goldie.
Oh, so my pick of the week this week is from an Irish band, Tandem Felix. It's their debut album. It's called Rom-Com. Really, really good. And the song that I chose for you guys this evening is Bravo Maestro.
There's been a nuclear explosion somewhere in this town. My teeth have rotted and corroded, but I did that to myself. There's families hiding in their bunkers as the air raids begin to sound. I just sit here getting drunker until my savior has been found. So tell me what you do, and I might go with you.
That's lovely. Really, really nice. That they are called Tandem Felix, and the album is Rom-Com.
I'm going to buy that.
Okay, yeah. John, very quickly, because we're almost out of time.
Okay, I was going to pick Nick Cave's Ghostie, and I was going to pick the Chris Rea reissues, honestly. But I've gone for a live recording of Marvin Gaye's What's Going On live in 1972, I think. This is the title track.
Thank you, D-Ready. John Cadell, let's play out with Marvin Gaye.
One, two, three.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.